Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy Seabees, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum, and also Director for our Homeward Bound Military Family Support Program, our Silver Star Widows and Elderly Veterans Program. And then we have multiple other programs, our Battlefield PTSD Program, Battlefield Expressions, where we're working with our military personnel, their families, Blue Star families, Gold Star families, and children, with our Art Therapy Program, which is very, very successful. It's taking place this morning. First class is at 10 a.m. this morning at the Firehouse in Cottonwood, and a second class will be at 2 o'clock this afternoon. 2 to 4. If you have not been part of that program, if you are a family member or a veteran, National Guard, Reserve, any of those different jobs or locations or personnel in the military, I'd like to invite you to come down and be a part of that program. And so we started the program in March. It's been very successful to honor our veterans and their family members. We have Korean War veterans, Vietnam veterans, Desert Storm veterans, Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans and their family members. So we have wives, we have children, we have Blue Star moms, their daughters or sons are serving right now, around the world in the different branches of the service. And they are all there like-minded. It's an opportunity for us to bring a community of individuals, military personnel, and their families together, and to be able to talk about like-minded military issues. It's a really great support program for the entire military community, retired and reserve and active duty and National Guard. And we even have some first responders. We have some policemen and firemen that are there and their families, because it helps with the PTSD of dealing with the whether it's the death that they see every single day on those jobs, or whether it's dealing with the stress of the job itself or the society that they have to deal with right now and those things that are taking place. But it is a very, very positive program in our Northern California area. And so we are part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And that's one of the things that I'm so grateful for, our instructors, our staff, our board members that are all involved in this project. They're all very positive and like-minded to help heal our community, to help bring people together who have served our nation faithfully, and to be able to continue to mentor them and to promote them as they move forward, excuse me, in their daily lives. I haven't been in the last couple of weeks. I've been dealing with bronchitis, and so I was kind of flat on my back, a little bit sick there, and we're not able to talk and cough and all the things going on. So that's why I haven't been here for the last couple of weeks. We've been doing some reruns. But this morning we're live, and we have the opportunity to come before you once again and to honor our veterans in our community and across our nation. We want to make sure, you know, some people say land of the free, home of the brave, and they mock it, tongue in cheek. And I just want to let you know that this nation would not be the nation that it is without the land of the free and the home of the brave. The men and women who wear the uniform, who step up to the plate, who serve this nation. Right now we have an all-volunteer military, if you didn't know that. Anybody who serves in our military is a volunteer. They sign on the dotted line. They choose to serve this nation. They choose to continue to honor the freedom of those individuals who want to talk down our community, talk down those who serve. And it's always amazing to me that certain people can make comments who've never served. If you have ever served in the military around the world, or have a family member who served around the world, life is a completely different situation because of where they've been, what they've been exposed to, what they've experienced. And to those who have fought for freedom, freedom has a different taste to it than those individuals who have never served or never fought for the freedom that we have in our country. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and some people don't like it. If you have not served in the United States military, you are a welfare recipient of freedom, because somebody else has paid that price. And that price is the men and women who serve our country. And I'm going to even go so far as to say it's the men and women who serve in our law enforcement across our nation too, because they keep the freedom and the peace in our nation also. They have a job that is not thankful. They have a job that they work hard every day. They get shot at. They deal with people that are unruly in our communities. They deal with thieves and murderers and people who hate other people. And so they keep the peace in our own nation. And there's so many people out there that want to throw rocks at our law enforcement. And I don't just mean rocks. I mean verbal comments and everything else. But do you ever see those people who talk like that ever step up to the plate and be part of the solution? No, you do not. Because those people, it's really easy to speak easy, to throw comments out there, but never step up to the plate and have a personal sacrifice or a personal involvement in the program or the welfare of our communities. And it's just the same. It's the same as whether you're walking down the street in this country or you're walking down the street in another nation. Our streets are getting worse and worse. And part of that problem is that our law enforcement are being handcuffed by our political society, socialist society. Those individuals who want everybody to be happy, but they don't want anybody to stand up and be responsible for their actions. Well, military personnel are responsible for their actions. They are taught that in the military. They're taught that in boot camp. They're taught that in their daily jobs when they serve around the world. They serve in extreme situations. They serve in different communities around the world. They learn how important our freedom here in this nation is. The poorest people in the United States are the wealthiest in other countries around the world. It always amazes me when somebody complains about being poor in the United States. Well, let's see. You can go get any food you want, anywhere you want. You can go to the gas station. You can buy gas. You can go to Walmart or any other store and buy anything that you want. You can walk down the street and nobody's shooting at you. You can do all these things at the fingertips here in the United States. I've been in places like the Philippines and other countries where the children are literally living in sewage and trash and rot. And they're happy. They're content. And it's amazing that people in situations of different countries adapt to their society. Yes, it's sad. Yes, it's wrong. We should do something to make it better. But then you'd look at people in the United States and see issues like that. And you wonder, what are you actually complaining about? You have doctors. You can go to any doctor that you want and Medicare or whatever else to help take care of that. And so other countries have zero capability of that. You can't even do that in Russia. You can't even do that in China. But in the United States, you're taken care of. The people coming across the border right now, they're getting medical care and they're being fed. Yes, it's a terrible situation where they're at because it's overcrowding in the situation. And that was, invited by the current administration. But once again, when I get back to the subject of, we are still the greatest nation in the world. We have our issues. Yes, we do. We are not a perfect nation. Some days we're upside down and backwards. But the majority of us who have served, step out and try to bring that norm back into our communities and to make sure that we continue to push to have the freedom that we have and that we want to make sure that our young people who are serving right now in our stead, because I'm retired, I've served, now someone else is serving in my stead, to make sure that we say thank you to them, that we appreciate the service that they're doing, that they're not out there thinking they're doing something and nobody cares, because that could be farther from the truth, because we do care. We care about the flag. We care about the uniform. We care about the hearts and the minds and the attitudes of the young men and women who are serving this nation right now. And you in our community, whether you like it or not, need to say thank you for your freedom to those who are paying and have paid the price. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Lighting. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up!
Shout, counter marching all about, and we'll kiss on the rolling along.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And if you didn't know it, May is Military Appreciation Month, and that's why we played the medley for the armed forces, because we are saying thank you to all of our military, and that includes those who have served and those who are currently serving. And we want to make sure that they know we are saying thank you for their service and thank you for their sacrifice, including the families who help honor and take care of our military personnel, whether they're abroad or whether they've come home and they're injured or whatever else it may be. It's an entire nucleus between the military person and the military family that helps take care and make sure that they're taken care of. You know, there's a lot of different things in the month of May that are all military associated, and that's why they call it the month of military appreciation. Military Spouses Day is Friday before Mother's Day. So this coming Friday is Military Spouses Day. Armed Forces Day is the 15th of May. It's right around the corner. And Memorial Day is the 31st. It's toward the end of the month. And so we want to make sure that we, especially not just May, every day we want to say thank you, but May we want to bring attention to these special days, special times, special opportunities for us to remember those who have served, and those special dates that honor those who have served in the important time frame in our nation, whether it was a war here at home or whether it was a war across the sea, that we make sure that we remember that history and we say thank you to those who served, because that's the primary thing, is sacrifice and bloodshed. That's what it takes to pay the cost of freedom. My guest this morning is retired Senior Chief Dan Meyer, hospital corpsman. Good morning, Dan, and thank you for being here this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
You and I have been friends for quite a few years, and I didn't even know that your rate was corpsman until this morning. You know, I don't think we ever even talked about you being a doc.
Didn't know that.
No, and then you came into, you went into the Coast Guard right after the end of Vietnam.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about going into your boot camp for the Coast Guard and some of the influences in your life that caused you to go that direction.
Well, originally I thought I was going to go into Marine Corps, just like every young man who's a football player, you know, in sports and testosterone flying everywhere. And I probably would have raised my hand and signed right there, except for the gunny that was talking to me at the recruiting office says, well, we're softer and not so tough anymore, and you don't even have to cut your hair. And he had just recruited a good friend of mine, so I knew that was not exactly truth. So I said, well, if you're not going to tell me the truth, I'll find some other job. So another buddy of mine was going to join the Coast Guard, so we actually went in on the buddy program to boot camp. And at that time, we had the training center down in Alameda, which is just south of Jack London Square. And
Coast Guard Island.
Coast Guard Island.
Yeah.
Back then, it was called Government Island. And so I spent 8 weeks living at boot camp down there, going through my training. And I had a lot of influences, interestingly enough, in boot camp. And probably the reason I made the career that I did is one of the chief petty officers there said, son, you're never going to do very well here, and you're not even going to make first class, let alone chief. Well, I busted his chops out of the way, because I made first class E6 less than 4 years, and I made CPO in less than 7. So.
Good for you.
But, you know, in my rate that I had,
that was just a challenge, is what that was.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Yep. And, you know, my specialty, you know, I had gone to Shasta College for 2 years prior to becoming a corpsman, and I'd studied pre-med, so I had already preloaded a lot of my qualifications and my knowledge, so that helped a lot with my MOS.
So when you're in college, that's probably, otherwise you'd have probably been in Vietnam for the last year.
Yeah,
so
that was right at the end of it. President Nixon actually had started the slowdown there in 73, probably 72 actually. And at that point, I had decided when I graduated from high school in 74 and I went to school for a couple years that I better go ahead and get the GI Bill, which is part of my emphasis for going into the Coast Guard at the time. And thought I wanted to be a doctor when I grew up, but I was being an independent duty corpsman, and so I get to play doctor, and I was having fun. I wasn't working near as hard as when I was going to college, you know, so I stuck around because I was having nothing but fun.
So you're, as an IDC, independent duty corpsman, I know that in the Navy, if you're IDC, you're attached to the Marine Corps.
Yep.
So were you ever attached to the Marines or any other unit besides the Coast Guard?
No, but interestingly enough, through all the training and everything I had, had I been in the Navy, I was qualified to be a FMF, you know, the Fleet Marine Corps.
I do. I have my FMF.
Yep.
I earned my FMF in Fallujah, Iraq. I mean, there's no better place to learn it than under the fire of the enemy, with the Marine Corps, in the thick of it. And so I'm very thankful and proud of that FMF because, I worked for that and received it right alongside the Marine Corps, out of Fallujah, in a hellhole. And so, that's probably one of the things that makes me probably more gung-ho than not is earning that FMF along in the Seabees.
And, you know, I went through a couple Navy schools, and almost all my instructors were FMF qualified. And, you know, even though we were cross-service, they were big influences in my life there, too. So it doesn't matter what service you're actually in, because you make friends across the board somewhere along the way.
Especially as a corpsman.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a doc, and it's good to know where one is.
But, you know, I spent over 20 years... And I lived 18 different units in 20 years, and so I did a lot of moving. Fortunately, the last few were longer terms, but I was able to raise my hand, say, send me here, send me there, because I wanted to enhance my career opportunities. And they accommodated me. So I had a good time with that. Started out after boot camp in Portland, Oregon. I was up there on Swan Island, worked on small boats up there, and also the tiny little ship up there called the Bluebell. It's a river buoy tender. And the best part about that was is people pay about $6,000 to make a trip from Portland up to Lewiston, Idaho, up the Snake River and back on a cruise boat. And they were paying me to do that, and I made that trip three times.
Well, I bet you that was quite an experience just by itself.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, that's it. And, you know, we call them puddle jumpers. That's an interment for Coast Guardies. Mm-hmm. But, my brother-in-law was a Coast Guard also during Vietnam, and so you do a lot of the waterways within the United States, the Coast Guard does.
Yeah, anything that they consider to be navigable waterways, you know, the Coast Guard's in charge of that, including approving building of bridges or renovating bridges, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I would imagine there in Puget Sound and all throughout Seattle there, I mean, you have a great influence with the Coast Guard.
And not only that, Great Lakes. There's more coastal on the Great Lakes than there is around the ocean.
Now, we're going to be coming up on a break here in just a few minutes, but in the Great Lakes, do they still have a problem with drugs and things like that coming across from Canada?
I'm sure there is, but I'm not real aware of all that law enforcement they get going up there. But, you know, they have a good relationship usually with the Canadian Coast Guard up there, too, so they work together well.
I didn't even think that the Canadians might have their own Coast Guard.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, Dan, as we're winding up here to take a break, I just, at the very beginning, because I get so busy, I never get a chance to say thank you. I want to say thank you for what you do in our community, and I want to say thank you for your service to our nation while serving the Coast Guard. And now that I know that you're a corpsman, I'm just going to start calling you Doc.
That's okay.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're talking about Trinidad's Espiritu Series No. 2, crafted with tobaccos from Brazil and Nicaragua and wrapped in an Arapiraca leaf. Espiritu No. 2 produces a harmonious, medium to full-bodied cigar with extraordinary zesty complexity and earthy notes. Come by the shop and pick up your Trinidad Espiritu No. 2 today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Once again, our guest this morning is Senior Chief Corpsman Dan Meyer, retired. And Dan, I'm just grateful to have you here with us this morning as we talk about your service, talk about service to our nation. And the Coast Guard brings a different look to our military where they serve here around our nation more than they do around the world. I know that when I was in Iraq, there was Coast Guard teams that were at Haditha Dam, which is one of the largest dams in Iraq, actually in the Middle East, on the Euphrates River, and they were doing patrols up and down the Euphrates River, kind of like PBR, patrol brown water boats, like during Vietnam. I know that they were getting shot at all the time from the different waterways and from the thrushes and reeds that were there. It was, you know, we were getting shot at in our convoys in the desert. These guys are down there on the Euphrates River and being shot at down there. And so it doesn't matter. You know, some people think, oh, the Coast Guard, they're just around the United States or whatever else. The Coast Guard is all over the world. And they are serving in the combat zones on the water and in the Persian Gulf. I know that they were in the Persian Gulf when we were there out of Kuwaiti, KNB, Kuwaiti Naval Base. And we worked with some of those guys, with some of the other spec warfare units. And so I have great, great respect with those guys that are out doing that. And then part of your service was also on the icebreakers and the sub-zero, sub-below weather and temperatures and things like that. And so I want to come back and talk a little bit about where you went to corpsman school and some of the experiences you had while at corpsman school.
Sure. Well, you know, I was a young man. I was 20 years old when I got into Coast Guard, and I was just barely 21 years old when I finally got to corpsman school, and that was in New Lenin, Connecticut. And, you know, typical 21-year-old, you know, you want to go learn what they're trying to teach you, but you're still busy trying to go out and have a good time and meet the girls and party and do all the other things that anybody else would be at that age, kind of exploring yourself and stretching yourself a little bit. And so, you know, we'd do our school stuff and made good friends from, you know, other guys that were there with me. And, you know, it was a lot of good fun and kind of heckling between the services, because right across the river was the Groton sub base, and there was the Navy guys and the Marine Corps guys, and we'd go over there and hassle each other a little bit. But one of the funnest things I think we did while I was there was one day we saw this Trident submarine coming up the river, and that's the Thames River there, and they were going to their slip over at the sub base, and we had this great big bag of marbles, you know, just those big glass marbles, and we had wrist rockets, and there were about four of us. And we're
which
loading
is a slingshot.
Yep. And we're loading them up, and it's a powerful slingshot.
Yes,
and you could launch easily probably 400 yards if you get the right angle on the dangle. And so we were pinging the side of the submarine with these glass marbles. And, you know, they weren't saying too much.
Well, the hull is what, 4 inches?
Yeah. But all of a sudden our Mass Chief Petty Officer, who's the senior enlisted guy in charge of the school. At that time, he had probably 26, 27 years in. He shows up down there on the shore of the river where we were, and he says, "What are you boys doing?" I said, "Well, we're having a good time just reaching out and putting a little signal out here to the submarine." And he looks over there and looks what we're doing. He says, "Well, you probably need to quit doing that, so give me all that stuff." So he confiscates all our marbles and wrist rockets and all that stuff, sends us on our way. We see him the next morning. He said, "Dang, that was fun. I shot all your marbles."
Okay, he's enjoying the rest of that. Well, you know, seniority has its privileges, especially when you know the limits and you can control them.
Yeah. But it was an amazing time even being at the Coast Guard Academy, because there's a lot of history there. And I got to meet one of my football heroes there. He was the head coach of the football team there at the Coast Guard Academy. It was Otto Graham, and he at one time was a very famous football player in the pro football ranks back in the 60s. So, you know, I was kind of all a Twitter and myself just getting a chance to go meet Captain Otto Graham.
What was your first duty station after coming out of corpsman school?
I went to the Coast Guard Training Center down here in Petaluma, California. It's actually 7 miles west out in Two Rock. And at that time, it's still a big training center down there. In fact, now they've got more schools than they ever had. But at that time, it was the Yeoman School, Storekeeper School, Radioman School. And there's no Radioman School anymore. That's been put together with other
IT,
grades.
Yep.
IT.
Informational Technologist.
And now they also have probably one of the most incredible law enforcement schools in the military down there right now, too.
Well, now, Coast Guard now is not under the Navy. It's under Homeland Security.
Yep. And before that was brought into being a cabinet level, we were under the Department of Transportation. So Coast Guard, they have all kinds of jobs that Coast Guard decides, or the Congress decides the Coast Guard is going to do. And, you know, it has to do with waterways. You know, you'll see them licensed captains for being pilots. that come up to rivers like up the Columbia River or into the San Francisco Bay. If there's a bridge that needs to be constructed around a navigable waterway, then the Coast Guard has to be involved with that, and they actually have a big input on whether that's going to happen or not happen. Even our bridges here along the Sacramento River coming up, Coast Guard has a big say in all that, too.
Wow. I know that a lot of people think, when they think of Coast Guard, they think, World War II. But the Coast Guard was actually established in 1775.
Actually, 1790.
And,
yep.
Okay, I guess maybe that was the Marine Corps then. Yeah. It was in 1775.
Yep.
And so they go all the way back to the inception of our nation.
We're actually, in reality, probably the longest, except for the Army, longest continuing service, even though we've gone through several iterations, because at that time it was the revenue cutter service, and then they also had the light service and those types of things, and they just kept consolidating.
You guys were the catch-all for almost everything maritime.
Yep.
So because the Navy came and went at the very beginning with the Continental Navy, and then the Marine Corps started and then stopped and then was reestablished again. So, yeah, you guys, they just kind of had you on the mark from the very beginning.
Interestingly enough, when we have to have a presence, and we're doing that right now today, we've got ships over in the South China Sea challenging the Chinese Navy, and with our little tiny ships we got over there. And by tiny, I mean, they're only a little over 300 feet. And I just saw on the news yesterday that they sent one of our ships into the Black Sea after the Russians said no. So.
Yes. So even though that these the ships are smaller, and even the PBRs, the patrol boat, river boats that are along with those are smaller, the Coast Guard has an enormous task. They are basically the catch-all from the big Navy, and taking on these smaller tasks and these smaller water outlets. The Navy doesn't really have a lot of PBR boats anymore, but the Coast Guard is made up of the smaller cutters and the PBRs.
In fact, when I first came into Coast Guard, believe it or not, the biggest Navy in the world was the United States Army.
Right, yes. And a lot of people did not know that. Because how do you get tanks from one location to the next? Well, you don't call up the Navy. You have your own ships, and you haul everything within your own assets.
But that was totally amazing to me when I found that out. So, you just never know. And oddly enough, when I first came into Coast Guard to now, every ship that I was familiar with has been decommissioned except for two, which is the Coder Bluebell, which is a river tender up in Portland, and the Coast Guard cutter icebreaker, the Polar Star. And I served on Polar Sea, the sister ship, but she's now getting ready to turn into razor blades.
So they just decommission, cut them up, and probably sell them back to China.
But we can talk more here in a few minutes about the icebreakers.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning is Senior Chief Corpsman Dan Meyer, retired. And we're talking about his service. We're talking about our nation. And we're talking about taking care of our military. We'll be right back.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Wheatings Bar is a California Historical Landmark number 32 and was the first gold discovery site in Shasta County. It is located on the bar at the mouth of the Clear Creek Canyon, the entrance to Horsetown Clear Creek Preserve on Clear Creek Road. The discovery was made in 1848 by Pearson B. Reading and worked by him as employees and as Indian laborers. This discovery triggered the gold rush into Northern California. The original bar was either washed or dredged away and another is formed in its place. The current bar is easily visible to visitors and has lots of bushes on it. When you go there, park your car in the Horsetown Clear Creek Preserve parking lot. Walk to the middle of the nearby bridge and look on the downstream side of the creek. The sandbar is right in front of you. This moment in history was brought to you by KCNR and Shasta County historian Dottie Smith. For more stories like this or exciting books by Dottie, find Dottie Smith on Amazon Books or go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, 'Can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waves from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare, and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up right. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Johnny Cash and the Ragged Old Flag. I'll tell you what, you know, in the United States military, we don't serve presidents. We don't serve individuals. We serve a flag. That flag represents this nation. It represents every military personnel who's worn a uniform before and fought and died for that freedom. And, you know, Dan, we've talked before, especially when you do 20 plus years in the service. It doesn't matter what branch it is. You're there because you're committed to a task. And the task is the freedom of this nation. And it doesn't matter whether you're in the Coast Guard or the Marine Corps or the Army or the Navy or the Air Force. You're wearing that uniform. You have the pride to serve this nation, and that flag represents you and the men who went before you and the women who went before you. But it also recognizes those individuals who die on the battlefield around us, like when we were in Iraq. We continue to carry on. We continue to make it happen. And it's not about one administration or the other. It's about the freedom of this nation, about what it was founded on, about the right and opportunity that every one of us has if we choose to work that hard to make it happen. And once again, when you serve that long underneath the flag, wearing that uniform, you grow in appreciation for this country. You grow in appreciation for what takes place and for what you've done and your duty and what you've seen the people around you do in their lives and sacrifices also.
Listen to that. Reminded me of a couple things, and you'll relate to this, no doubt. Every military base, no matter where you're at, what happens at 0600?
You have colors.
Everything stops.
Everything.
And you come to attention, you face the flag, and you snap the salute.
There is no greater respect, if you ask me, on base, when colors sound and you step forward and you salute for that flag going up and coming down in the evening.
And even more amazing, when I was in Pearl Harbor and all the ships were in, Coast Guard ships, Navy ships and all that, you have one ship who's the senior officer in command, and that ship starts colors, 0600, and as the sun sets, colors again. And nothing more beautiful than you hear all those bosun pipes sounding colors.
You know, when we're spent a lot of time at Port Wayne Evening in Southern California, the Navy CB base there, and so many times we'd be out going from class to class or chow or from one, you know, working, and all the vehicles stop. Doesn't matter if you're on a forklift, a bulldozer, whatever else, somebody signals you, it's colors. Everything comes to silence, and you either get off your rig or you stand on your rig and you come to attention and you salute. And I always felt just such a pride and a respect for my nation because of what that flag represented. But you know what it was? It was all of us coming together as a camaraderie of military personnel with the same mindset that we are honoring that flag that is flying above us at that particular location. We did the same thing in Fallujah, Iraq, in the combat zone. If you were in a safe place, you came to a position, you saluted until that flag was retrieved.
Doesn't matter your political persuasion, my brothers, my sisters at arms, we're all there together. And one of the things that just got me so bad is when people would say, well, you know, President Trump's not my president. And you don't have to agree with the political persuasion of whoever's the president at the time. But I'll guarantee you, just because I don't necessarily believe all the things that President Biden is saying, that I will never say he's not my president.
So that's the same thing that took place with Clinton when President Clinton came into office. Guys were getting out of service here. Now, I didn't join to serve this guy. Well, I joined to serve the nation.
That's right.
I joined to serve the country, to follow the heritage of my father and my grandfather. I didn't join because there was a certain president that was in office at that time. And that's one of the reasons that I continued to serve and to make that happen. Dave, or Dan, when you came back from serving your nation, you came in back into our community, and you've been heavily involved in our veterans organizations. And I'm jumping ahead because we're running out of time. Right now you're on the board for the cemetery committee for the Igo Veterans Cemetery, and you've been involved in other organizations. Tell us a little bit, because we have like 5 minutes left, some of the important things that you've been involved in and how it has affected our community and yourself.
Well, a lot of it, you know, with the Veteran Support Board, you know, it's just helping to keep things running smooth. I put my talents together. So one of the things I do is I help locate resources, put together the program, work with Mark out there, who's the director, and Connie, who's the president of our board. And, you know, we do the things that need to be done to honor those who are living permanently out there in the cemetery. Interestingly enough, I have a pretty big circle out there of friends and, you know, some family that are out there, and I'm proud they're there. And eventually I'll be out there. It's a good place to spend the rest of eternity.
Well, we have given it the affectionate term of Arlington West.
Yep.
And it is just an absolutely fantastic location. It's beautiful. It honors our veterans. It honors our nation. And if you've never been out to the Igo Veterans Cemetery, I'd encourage you to do that, especially toward the end of this month when we have Memorial Day coming up. There will not be any services out there because of this COVID issue. But it doesn't stop you from going out and honoring those veterans, whether you're a family member or not, to take a moment and say thank you to them under your breath for the freedom that they've given to you.
You can go out there, drop a flower. You can put a coin on the headstone. There's a lot of things that can be done, and each coin has a significance, and I encourage people to look it up online. I won't explain it because if you do your own research, then you understand. Also, let's don't forget a young man who's not a veteran, and to my knowledge, his grandfather was, but I don't know any more about his family that was, and that's Preston Sharp, who started out when he was 10 or 11 years old putting flags and flowers, and now he's put probably 200,000 flags and flowers all across our nation. He's trying to visit all 50 states and do that. Get online and support him. Help him do what he does. His mom's a hero in my book because she helped pay for that for a long time before he started getting donations to come in. And if we had more young men like him, we wouldn't have half the problem we got going right now with the generation that's going. And I know all the parents have said that for generations past, but, you know, he's a definite hero in my book.
Well, the tragedy is that we don't have enough parents supporting our young people to get them involved to do that. Like you said, it comes from the dedication of the parent to help promote that whole idea. He started by honoring his grandfather right here at Reading Memorial Park. And from there it grew to, hey, if we're honoring my grandfather, how come we're not honoring these other veterans?
Absolutely. And, you know, and then I watch somebody like you, and I'm almost embarrassed because when I stand next to you, all the things that you got going on and doing, I don't know if you sleep, and I don't even know if your wife knows who you are because you got to be gone all the time.
Well, I hear about that all the time. But, you know, part of that was part of my PTSD therapy was staying busy and keeping motivated. You know, I was given a second chance to come home. I should have died in Iraq my second tour. It was just that critical. And so I consider this my second opportunity because I was given life a second time. Yeah. To serve in my community and to honor those who served, the sacrifice that was made, those that we saw that came home under the flag, the Marines that were killed with IEDs and sniper fire, because I served directly with the Marine Corps, and the CBs that we lost due to IEDs, that is permanently in my soul and in my heart. And we can never forget. I'm not going to forget till the day I die. But we can never forget that sacrifice.
Well, you may recall the first time I met you was 2 weeks before you were leaving for Iraq. And you and your wife had that pizza place out there and over on the other side of the river. And you were getting ready to shut it down because you were going to be gone.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a family mom-and-pop store.
Yep.
And Pop was leaving. Dan, we're coming right down to the wire. We're going to be heading out here in just a little bit. And once again, I want to say thank you for your service. I want to invite you to come back. We have a little bit more time and talk about some of the other things going on in our community and things that you're involved with. And thank you again for your service and your sacrifice and for mentoring so many junior sailors throughout your career.
I just want to mention one more thing. The Coast Guard's run out of our heavy icebreakers. That was in the works a while back with the last administration. I don't know where it is with the current one. I encourage anybody and everybody who writes letters up to Congress and up to the president to let's work on getting our icebreaker fleet back up to strength.
Thank you very much, Dan.
All right.
Look forward to having you back again. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. We will see you next time.
There's a story that my daddy tells religiously.